Old Testament Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual, Lesson 14. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me. Exodus chapters 15 through 20 and 32 through 34. Purpose: to encourage class members to partake of the Lord's spiritual water and bread, sustain his chosen leaders, and obey his commandments so he can make of them a holy nation. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Preparation. 1. Prayerfully study the following scriptures. A. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 27. Chapter 16, verses 1 through 31. And chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. The children of Israel murmur because they are thirsty and hungry, and the Lord provides water, manna, and quail. B. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13, and chapter 18, verses 13 through 26. Amalek comes to fight with Israel. Israel prevails while Moses holds up his hands, but Amalek prevails when Moses tires and lowers his hands. Aaron and Hur hold up Moses' hands, and Israel wins the battle. Chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. Moses follows Jethro's counsel to appoint judges and delegate authority to them. Chapter 18, verses 13 through 26. C. Exodus chapters 19 through 20. The Lord meets with Moses on Mount Sinai and gives Israel the Ten Commandments. D. Exodus chapters 32 through 34. Moses receives stone tablets containing instructions from the Lord, but breaks the tablets when he returns from Sinai and sees the people worshiping a golden calf. Chapter 31, verse 18. Chapter 32, verses 1 through 24. The Lord takes the ordinances of the Melchizedek priesthood from Israel and gives them a lesser law, the law of Moses. Joseph Smith translation, Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 2. Moses hews new tablets of stone to replace those that he has broken, but the new tablets do not include the words of the everlasting covenant of the holy priesthood. Chapter 34, verses 1 through 5. Joseph Smith translation, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 2. The people covenant to obey the law of Moses. Chapter 34, verses 10 through 35. 2. Additional reading. Psalm 78. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 19 through 27. 3. Bring to class several books or other heavy objects if you use the object lesson on pages 64 and 65. 4. If Old Testament video presentations, item number 53224, is available, you may want to show Modern Idolatry, a 7-minute segment, as part of the lesson. Suggested lesson development. Attention activity. You may want to use the following activity or one of your own to begin the lesson. Imagine that you must make a journey into a wilderness where you have never been and that has not been mapped. How would you prepare for this journey? Answers may vary, but one helpful preparation would be to find a guide. What qualifications would you want in a guide who was leading you into a wilderness area? Answers may vary, but the guide should know the area and be trustworthy. Who was the guide for Moses and the children of Israel after they had fled Egypt and entered the wilderness? The Lord. Point out that the experiences of the Israelites while journeying in the wilderness can teach us important lessons as we journey through mortality. One important lesson is that we can trust God to guide and care for us as He did the Israelites. Scripture Discussion and Application. As you teach the following scripture passages, discuss how they apply to daily life. Encourage class members to share experiences that relate to the scriptural principles. Because it would be difficult to ask every question or cover every point in the lesson, prayerfully select those that will best meet class members' needs. 1. The Lord provides water, manna, and quail for the children of Israel. Teach and discuss Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 27, chapter 16, verses 1 through 31, and chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. After the Israelites had passed through the Red Sea, the Lord instructed Moses to lead them to the Promised Land. But first, the Lord tested the Israelites' faith in the wilderness. Many of the people lacked faith, complaining to the Lord instead of turning to Him. Nevertheless, the Lord provided water for their thirst and manna and quail for their hunger. What problem did the Israelites face in Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 24, and chapter 17, verses 1 through 3? How did Moses respond when the people murmured against him? See Exodus chapter 15, verse 25, and chapter 17, verse 4. He turned to the Lord for help. What can we learn from Moses' response? How did the Lord respond to Moses' prayers for help? See Exodus chapter 15, verses 25 and 26, and chapter 17, verses 5 through 7. The Lord provided physical and spiritual water for the children of Israel. The physical water came from the rock that Moses smote. The spiritual drink came from the spiritual rock, which is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. What is the spiritual water that flows from Christ? See 1 Nephi chapter 11, verse 25. How can we drink that water? What is promised to those who drink that water? See John chapter 4, verse 14, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 63, verse 23. What problem did the Israelites face in Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3? How did the Lord respond? See Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 and 11 through 15. In addition to satisfying the people's hunger, what were some other purposes of sending manna? A. It would show the Lord whether His people would obey Him. Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 and 16 through 31. B. It would give the people daily reminders of the Lord's power and love. Exodus chapter 16, verse 12. C. It would teach the people that they do not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. D. It would humble the people and help them receive salvation. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16. How do you think sending manna helped accomplish each of these purposes? How does the Lord accomplish each of these purposes in our lives? How is manna a representation of Christ? See John chapter 6, verse 35. How does Christ's living bread differ from manna? See John chapter 6, verses 48 through 51. How can we daily partake of Christ's living bread? The Israelites needed to gather manna every day to maintain physical strength. How can this be likened to what we must do to maintain spiritual strength? Just as we need daily nourishment to maintain physical strength, we also need daily nourishment to maintain spiritual strength. We cannot expect to be nourished spiritually if we study the Scriptures and pray only occasionally. What usually happened when the Israelites kept the manna overnight? See Exodus chapter 16, verses 19 through 20. What happened when they kept manna overnight in preparation for the Sabbath? See Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 through 25. How can we apply this principle to our weekly preparation for the Sabbath? What would have happened to the Israelites if they had tried to journey through the wilderness without the Lord's help? What will happen to us if we try to journey through mortality without the Lord's help? 2. Aaron and Hur hold up Moses' hands, so Israel prevails in battle against Amalek. Moses follows Jethro's counsel to appoint judges and delegate authority to them. Teach and discuss Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13, and chapter 18, verses 13 through 26. Point out that both of these accounts teach us the importance of supporting and sustaining church leaders. The Amalekites warred with the children of Israel for many years, beginning in the time of Moses. How were the Israelites able to defeat Amalek's people in the battle described in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13? When Aaron and Hur sustained Moses by holding up his arms, Israel prevailed in battle. What kinds of spiritual battles do we fight today? How does sustaining the prophet help us prevail in these battles? President Ezra Taft Benson said, "I am reminded how Moses up on the hill raised his arms for the victory of the armies of Israel. As long as his arms were raised, Israel prevailed. But when they dropped from weariness, then the enemy prevailed. And so Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and Israel was victorious." Exodus chapter 17, verse 12. So will we be victorious as we hold up the arms of the Lord's anointed servants. In Conference Report, April 1986, page 98, or Ensign, May 1986, page 77. What concerned Jethro when he saw the people coming to Moses all day and evening? See Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 18. What did Jethro counsel Moses to do? See Exodus chapter 18, verses 19 through 23. What responsibilities of a prophet are mentioned in Exodus chapter 18, verses 16 through 20? You may want to have class members look for the responsibilities in these verses, then list the answers on the chalkboard. You may also want to use the following object lesson. Invite a class member to hold out his or her arms. As the first responsibility is identified, place a book or other heavy object in the class member's hands. Add another book or heavy object as each other responsibility is identified. A. Be a judge for the people. Exodus chapter 18, verse 16. B. Represent the people before God. Exodus chapter 18, verse 19. C. Teach them ordinances and laws. Exodus chapter 18, verse 20. D. Show them the way wherein they must walk. Exodus chapter 18, verse 20. E. Show them the work that they must do. Exodus chapter 18, verse 20. How can we hold up the hands and ease the burdens of our prophet and apostles today? See Doctrine and Covenants, section 21, verses 4 through 5. Also section 107, verse 22. As class members offer suggestions, take some of the books or other objects from the arms of the class member who is holding them. How can we support and sustain our local church leaders? Answers may include speaking well of them, serving diligently in our church callings, and being good home teachers and visiting teachers. How have you been blessed as you have supported church leaders? You may want to use Doctrine and Covenants section 21, verse 6, in this discussion. 3. The Lord meets with Moses on Mount Sinai and gives Israel the Ten Commandments. Teach and discuss Exodus chapters 19 and 20. Within 3 months of Israel's entering the wilderness, the Lord wanted to establish His covenant with them. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. As part of this covenant, He revealed the Ten Commandments to Moses. While the children of Israel were camped at Mount Sinai, what did the Lord promise if they would be obedient? See Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. He would make them a peculiar treasure, a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. What do these promises mean? How do these promises apply to us today? These promises mean that Israel would become the Lord's covenant people, favored above all others, and chosen to bear the priesthood and the gospel to all people. See also Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, chapter 14, verses 1 through 2, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Note that in this context, peculiar carries the meaning of being the Lord's own special people or treasure, not the meaning of odd or eccentric. Bible Dictionary, Peculiar, page 748. What experience did the Lord want His people to have at Mount Sinai? See Exodus chapter 19, verses 9, 11, 16, and 17. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 23. What did the Lord require His people to do before they could meet with Him? See Exodus chapter 19, verses 10 and 14. Mount Sinai was a holy place where the Lord wanted to speak to His people and show Himself to them. What holy places has He provided where we can receive these same blessings? Temples. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 97, verses 15 and 16. Also, section 109, verses 12 and 13. Invite class members to tell how the temple has helped them hear the Lord's voice and feel His presence. The first four commandments in Exodus chapter 20 teach the proper relationship between us and God. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 11. How is the commandment to worship the Lord and to have no other gods before Him relevant today? What false gods do some people worship today? See 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verses 15 and 16. President Spencer W. Kimball said, "Idolatry is among the most serious of sins. Modern idols or false gods can take such forms as clothes, homes, businesses, machines, automobiles, pleasure boats, and numerous other material deflectors from the path to godhood. Intangible things make just as ready gods. Degrees and letters and titles can become idols. Many people build and furnish a home and buy the automobile first, and then they cannot afford to pay tithing. Whom do they worship? Certainly not the Lord of heaven and earth. Many worship the hunt, the fishing trip, the vacation, the weekend picnics and outings. Others have as their idols the games of sport, baseball, football, the bullfight, or golf. Still another image men worship is that of power and prestige. These gods of power, wealth, and influence are most demanding and are quite as real as the golden calves of the children of Israel in the wilderness." The Miracle of Forgiveness, pages 40 through 42. What are some ways that people take God's name in vain? Why is it important that we not take His name in vain? Why is it important for us to keep the Sabbath day holy? See Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, chapter 31, verses 16 through 17, Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 through 14, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verses 9 and 10. How should we decide what activities are appropriate for the Sabbath? How have you been blessed as you have kept this day holy? review the 6 commandments that concern our relationships with other people. Exodus chapter 20, verses 12 through 17. How does obeying these commandments improve our relationships with others? You may want to focus on individual commandments, defining what they mean, and discussing them as appropriate. 4. The Lord introduces the law of Moses. Teach and discuss Exodus chapters 32 through 34. When the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai, he revealed a law that included the ordinances of the Melchizedek priesthood. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 19 through 23. However, the Israelites' idolatrous behavior showed that they were not ready to live the fullness of the gospel. Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 9, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 24. Because they forgot the Lord so quickly, he withdrew the Melchizedek priesthood from them and revealed a lesser law, the law of Moses. Joseph Smith translation, Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 2, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 25 through 27. The law of Moses did not replace the commandments, covenants, or principles of the gospel. Rather, it provided a law of performances and of ordinances, a law which they were to observe strictly from day to day, to keep them in remembrance of God and their duty towards Him. Mosiah chapter 13, verse 30. The law of Moses taught people to confess their sins and make amends, to follow strict rules in offering animal sacrifices, to keep their bodies healthy, to give to support the Lord's work, to give thanks, and to be reconciled to God. Why did the Lord give the children of Israel the law of Moses? See Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, Mosiah chapter 13, verse 29, Alma chapter 25, verses 15 through 16, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verses 19 through 27. How would this law help make Israel holy and bring them to Christ? See Mosiah chapter 13, verse 30, and Alma chapter 34, verses 14 through 15. When was the law of Moses fulfilled? See 3 Nephi chapter 15, verses 4 through 10. Now that the Lord no longer requires animal sacrifices, which were an important part of the law of Moses, what sacrifice does he ask us to make? See 3 Nephi chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. What does it mean to offer a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Elder M. Russell Ballard taught, although the law of Moses was fulfilled, the principles of the law of sacrifice continue to be a part of the doctrine of the church. While the primary purpose of the law of sacrifice continued to be that of testing and assisting us to come unto Christ, 2 adjustments were made after Christ's ultimate sacrifice. First, the ordinance of the sacrament replaced the ordinance of animal sacrifice. And second, this change moved the focus of the sacrifice from a person's animal to the person himself. In a sense, the sacrifice changed from the offering to the offerer. After his mortal ministry, Christ elevated the law of sacrifice to a new level. Instead of the Lord requiring a person's animal or grain, now the Lord wants us to give up all that is ungodly. This is a higher practice of the law of sacrifice. It reaches into the inner soul of a person. The Law of Sacrifice, address delivered at the Church Educational System Symposium, August 13, 1996, page 5. Conclusion. Testify to class members that if they will partake of the Lord's spiritual water and bread, sustain His chosen leaders, and obey His commandments, He will invite them to His holy mountain, the temple. There they can meet with Him, receive His laws, behold his glory, and go forth inspired to be more like him. Additional teaching ideas. The following material supplements the suggested lesson outline. You may want to use one or more of these ideas as part of the lesson. 1. The Ten Commandments. Note that the Ten Commandments are repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 5 through 21, Mosiah chapter 12, verses 33 through 36, and Mosiah chapter 13, verses 12 through 24, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verses 18 through 27, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verses 5 through 16. Review these passages for further insights into the Ten Commandments. 2. The Golden Calf. You may want to discuss the story of building and worshiping the golden calf as recorded in Exodus chapter 32. Numerous principles can be drawn from this story, including the two below. A. Old habits and patterns of belief or behavior are hard to break. Even though the Israelites had left Egypt physically, they were still not spiritually free from its influences. After the Israelites had heard the voice of God proclaim the Ten Commandments from Sinai, they quickly broke the first two. B. It is important to withstand negative peer pressure. Aaron gave in to the Israelites' unrighteous desires. At times, leaders and parents must say no, even at the risk of offending or alienating those whom they are responsible for. End of Lesson 14, Ye Shall Be a Peculiar Treasure Unto Me, Old Testament Gospel Doctrine Teacher's Manual.